Take your Bibles, please, and let's turn to Psalm 103. We're going to be taking up the subject of the Father of Fathers. The Father of Fathers. And we're going to be looking at this passage of Scripture in Psalm 103, that one of the most beautiful psalms that we possess, speaking of the Father, how the Father interacts with His creation. We're going to begin reading at verse 1, and we're going to read down through verse 18 of this passage as we look at the Father of Fathers. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank You that we can be in Your house today, and we thank You that we possess a copy of the Scriptures. What a blessing to have a copy, as we know there are thousands of languages still on this earth that do not have a Bible in their own heart language. And yet we possess one. May we truly be thankful. And may we be encouraged by what we have just read about our Father, the Father of Fathers. I pray that You would teach us this morning, that we would open our hearts, and that we might understand the truth that You have for us today. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. These 18 verses touch on how our Father interacts with His people. Specifically here in this passage, He's dealing with the children of Israel. But there is application for all people groups in this passage, because God deals with everyone in a compassionate and powerful way. Now, that does not mean that He does not exercise righteousness and justice, as we learn from this particular passage of Scripture. He is a God that loves righteousness. He loves holiness. He is holy. And He will exercise judgment upon those that are in violation, who rebel against Him. He's that kind of Father. But He's also the kind of Father that is near and close to His children. And His mercies fail not, we're told in this passage, to them. I want us to focus, though, on verse 13 today, because there's some truth here in this passage of Scripture that you can live your life and understand. And as a dad, you can understand better how God fathers His children. Notice, please. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. There's several key words in this passage here, but God chooses to say, like a father pitieth his children, or has compassion upon them, so does the Lord pity them that fear Him. We have a glimpse here into the fatherhood of God and how He operates. And He chooses to use a human example to demonstrate how He loves His children, how He acts before His children. This word pitieth is an interesting Hebrew word. It's not the Hebrew word hesed, which is used multiple times in this passage of Scripture, which is loving kindnesses, mercy, but it's a very special word. It means to see a situation, to exercise pity in that situation by providing what is needed to relieve that situation. That's all wrapped up in that word that's translated in our English Bibles, pitieth, to have compassion. To see a need, to understand how important it is to have compassion on that person, but it moved beyond thoughts and words to what? Action. Action. We have an action Father. I was thinking about this as I was studying this particular passage, about something that happened to me many, many years ago with Jonathan. Jonathan, I think at the time, was 7 or 8. And he came up to him and he said, "Dad, could I have $10? And I said, "Jonathan, what do you need $10 for?" "Dad, it's a secret. But you're going to find out really soon." And it just happened to be in the month of June. What's coming up today? All right. I'm slow, but I figured it out pretty quick. And I said, "All right, so you want $10? "Yes, Dad, but it's a secret. You can't tell anybody." All right. So I reached in my wallet and I pulled out 10 bucks and I gave it to Jonathan. He was beaming ear to ear and off he went. All right. And on Father's Day, I got a present from Jonathan that was purchased with money from Dad. Now stop for just a moment. Don't be that person. Don't be that person that says, "Well, you should have made him work for it." Let me ask you something. Do you have to work for God's grace? Do you have to work for God's mercy? When the prodigal son came running back home and his father was out there, he didn't meet a dad that said, "You know what, son? You are stupid. You took all the money that I gave you and you went down into the far country and you blew it all and now you're running back to me wanting me to open my wallet for you. You're going to have to prove it to me." Did he do that? Stop for just a moment. Don't be that person. Do you realize that every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no shadow of turning? In another passage, "He giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not when He giveth wisdom." Do you realize that everything you own, your house, your car, your boat, your this, your that, your bank account, belongs to God? He gave it to you. And just a few moments ago, when the men went down the aisle, you were just returning back what God gave you. Do you realize that Jonathan, what he did with me, is what I do with God every day? You're breathing right now. Who provided you the air? Say it out loud, please. God the Father made the earth through His Son, Jesus Christ, and provided all the air that you and I need to breathe so you can sit in a service today. Is He a good Father? Everything that I own, everything that I possess, my children. Remember Job? Lost all of his kids? I mentioned that the other day. What did he say at the end of chapter 1? "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." You know what he was owning the fact of? That everything that I have belongs to God. It changes your perspective, does it not? I earned that. I worked hard for that. It's mine. Who gave you your body? Who gave you your mind to think and to be able to do things with it? Who gave you the ability to be an engineer or to do other some type of job, to be an attorney, to be a chief financial officer of a company in Pensacola? All the different things. Where did that come from? Oh, I did it. No. As a father pitieth his children. A father looks at a child who comes up to him and asks for $10. All right? Now, I could have said, all right, I'll give you a bunch of chores to do and you can go do that. But he came to me because it was urgent. Father's Day was just a few days away and Mama was going to Walmart. Okay? So in a sense of urgency, he said, Dad, can I have $10, but keep it a secret? In other words, don't tell Mom that I gave him $10. All right? Keep it a secret. And that's just kids, right? That's a child. We do the same thing every day. I cried out to God over this past week, Lord, would you help us to be able to get this tournament done? The T-Ball World Series is like riding a perpetual motion bicycle. You just don't get a break. You're just riding the bike all the time, you know. And, you know, the Lord's given us this testimony to the community. I don't know how many people I've talked to over the last few days. Just pulled up beside somebody, talked to somebody I hadn't seen in a long time. And they would say, you know, we appreciate this place. Another gentleman came up to me yesterday and said, I appreciate the Bible verse. By the way, you need to replace some of the letters on there. Some of them are broken. I said, yeah, kids have been throwing baseballs against the building. Let all things be done decently and in order. He said, I want you to know that a person from Century that came down to watch my grandson appreciates the fact that this is a Christian place and you're providing an opportunity for kids to get to play in a tournament. It's an outreach. It's a ministry. And so I cried out to God and I said, God, I can't control the weather. And Thursday night we got it in, and then Friday night it rained like all get up. And I just, all I could say was, Lord, thank you. You knew we needed a night off. And yesterday we got all the games in from Friday night. I don't know what Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday are going to bring for us on the weather, but I know who is in control of the weather. It's the Father. And He does what is best. Who knows what might have happened on a Friday evening? Somebody injured? We've had people die on this campus before. Did you know that? We've had people at ball games. We had a lady that died in the ladies' restroom. We had a man that died on field 5 bleachers. People can die. Maybe God just said, you know, we're gonna take a night off. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father of fathers. Pity. The concept of seeing a need and your heart is moved by that. But it doesn't stop there. How many times has your heart been moved by something and you just stopped? It was just a thought. And you stopped. And you were overwhelmed. Well, if I do that, then I'm going to have to spend some money. I don't know if I want to do that. Or if I do that, they're probably going to want more. And I don't want to do that. We start going through the calculations. We pull out the green visor like the old accountants used to wear. Stick it on the head. Right? How many of you remember the old green visors that they used to wear in the banks back in the old days? And the light would shine through on the I don't know what it was for. Maybe it helped them to ease their eyes or whatever. But you put the green visor on. Oh, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. Nope, not doing that. And the pity stops right there. But that's not really pity, is it? It ceases to be pity because the word means to sense the need, to sense I can do something about that need, and then move into action to supply that need. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them who what? Fear Him. Fear Him. So, we've established a principle, have we not, of how God operates as a father. He is not just this mean ogre up there sitting up there whopping people. He is a father who does judge. He does exercise punishment and chastisement. The Bible is very clear on that. But he's a full-orbed God. All right? He knows our frame. And you know why he knows our frame? Because he made us. He knows our frame. That's the very next verse. There are certain things that we just cannot seem to bear. The Bible talks about that we are to cast our burdens upon the Lord, but there's also a passage that says that there are smaller burdens that we can go and help another brother or sister carry, right? Bear one another's burdens. That is a different word. It's not the same word for the overbearing type stuff that we cast upon the Lord because we can't do anything about it. It's the small things that come up and a believer in Christ can come along and show pity, sense a need. I can meet this need. I can help, all right? Like a father with a son, I can help. I can reach in my wallet and give $10 to Jonathan. And then Jonathan go buy something with the $10 and give it back to me. But that's exactly what we do every day. That's how the transaction works. God gives, we give back. God gives, we give back. That's how it works. He established that at creation. What did he give to Adam? Boy, it gave him an incredible mind, did he not? Incredible mind to be able to name all the plants and all the animals and come up with all the genus and species and phyla and all the things that have been passed down through the centuries to this present day. He named them all. And yet, one command, and Adam couldn't keep that. All right? He knows our frame. He knew in his infinite foreknowledge what was going to happen, so he determined in eternity past that he was going to make a way to deliver his child. You know what that is? It's called pity. He saw the need. It went from thoughts to action. My son, Ephesians 1 says, in love he determined that we would be made like unto his son. His son would be the one that would be sent to meet the needs of sinners upon this earth. That's this word pity. As a father pitieth his son. Now just stop for just a moment. Where does that come from? The ability to be able to exercise pity. Where does that come from? For most of it, it's how we're brought up. Agreed? Some people are brought up in homes where there's little pity. I was talking to an individual out here at the park. I've known him for years. And I said, well, Father's Day's coming up. Happy Father's Day, I said to him. And he said, you know, my dad's been gone a long, long time. And he said, I've struggled with dealing with my memories of Dad because he was so hard. He just never smiled. He never seemed to care anything about it. He said, I love my dad, and I wanted to have some kind of a relationship, but Dad, and he said, I went to him. This was a few years before his death. He said, I went to him. He said, Dad, why are you this way? Why are you this way? Why are you so hard? And he said, his dad said, that's just the way I am, and I'm too old to change. Well, that was his excuse, right? But the fellow said he was trained to be that way by his parents. That was how he grew up. That's how it perpetuates from generation to generation, this idea. Isn't it wonderful that from the very beginning, God established something about himself dealing with his creation? That before he ever made Adam, he had determined how he was going to redeem Adam. Before he ever sinned, he'd already determined how he was going to rescue him. We send our lifeguards through a lot of training. They spent 3 days this year We hired a man to come up from Naples, Florida, and he spent 3 days in the gym and in the pool, grilling, testing, and all the different scenarios about how to save a kid or a person from drowning. There's a lot involved with that. They have to be able to tread water. They have to be able to dive down and get a 10-pound brick off the bottom of the pool and bring it up and put it up on the side. Some people say, that's easy for me. We had several that couldn't do it. They had to retest several times. It's not easy to do that. And then they had to rescue people floating in the water. Had to go and put the arm around them and pull them in. And then the guy would say, I want you to fight back this time. Is that a real life scenario? Yeah. Real life scenarios. It's not easy. But God did something that would not be easy either. He determined before the foundation that it would be His Son. And some people stop right here. Some people would say, how could you do that? How could you think that? He's the Father of fathers. He knew that the only way that sinners could be redeemed was that His own perfect Son would have to take their place. You know what that is? Pity. That's our word. To see the need. No one could help Todd Brainerd. Todd Brainerd couldn't help himself. No one could help Todd Brainerd. But God, in His infinite knowledge before the foundation of the world, said, I'm going to send my Son to take Todd Brainerd's place. Vile and corrupt though he be, He's going to take his place and make a way of salvation. Pity. Not just words, not just thoughts that you have, but action. I want to develop this a little bit further as we consider this truth here. I want you to think with me for just a few moments about the action of a father. I don't know about you, but if you have children, you know what it's like to deal with all kinds of different situations. Some of them are situations that you told them not to do something, they went out and did it anyway, and then they got the consequences that came with it. That's frustrating as a father, to tell them not to do something, all right? Riding bicycles was a major thing for us. We're Brainerds. We fall down a lot, all right? Riding bicycles. Teaching my kids how to ride a bike. We just finished up helping Preston learn how to ride a bicycle, all right? And there were a lot of boo-boos, a lot of falling down on the concrete. We tried to stay in the dirt, but after a while, you know, you can only go so far in the sand. So we get out on the road, and that's always iffy. But I remember as kids, my first bicycle was not the soft tire type stuff. It was the semi-pneumatic hard rubber tire. How many of you ever had that? The tricycles all had those type things. And my bicycle with the training wheels was all hard rubber. I mean, you felt everything. You felt everything as you go. And you're trying to learn. And so I went to Dad and I said, Dad, I'm ready to take off the training wheels. And Dad said, no, you're not. I've been watching you. Now that's kind of a blow to a kid. Dad, I've been watching you. You're falling down with the training wheels. You don't need to be taking them off right now. But Dad, I want to be like Eric Woods. He's riding his bike without training wheels. Well, then you get better at riding with the training wheels, and we'll pop them up there, and you can go. And I remember the day when Dad got his crescent wrench out, went out there, took those bolts off, flipped up the lever on that, tightened them down, and I got on there. Woo! I'm going to light up the world, and guess what I did? I was used to that boom, boom, on the training wheels. Anybody remember that? Yeah, some of you have to reach back 100 years. Boom, boom. And I went, boom. There was nothing there. Then, all right, yeah, I'm going to have to learn how to slide off the seat and get my legs down there. And you start, things start connecting, right? Things start connecting. Our Father in heaven connected all the dots before the foundation of the world, whereby you and I would be able to experience pity. Follow me now. It's one thing to talk about pity. Oh, yeah, I've got the ability to take care of that thing. But to be on the receiving end of it, you know how special that is? For Jonathan to get that 10 bucks and go down to the store and go up and down. I don't know where all they went, Walmart or whatever. I can't remember back that far. But to have that $10 in his hand, I'm going to buy Dad a Father's Day gift. It made his day that he could turn around and go buy something for Dad. All right? Now, folks, God has supplied everything that we need. But there's something that's added to this verse that you cannot forget. This particular word is mentioned 3 times in our passage. As a father pitieth his children, so does the Father pity those that, what? Finish the sentence. Fear Him. Now, lest you think, yeah, that's an Old Testament concept. We don't believe that anymore. Do you know I find the fear of the Lord in the New Testament too? 2 passages of Scripture come to my mind very quickly that we find this. We read that the Lord, we're to fear even Christ. Did you know that? See if I can find my passage here that I was looking for. Bible says in Ephesians 5:21, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Wow. Phobo Christu, in the fear of Christ. Not only that, we read in 1 Peter 2 and verse 17, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, phobo theos, honor the king. We find this mentioned several times in the writings of the Apostle Paul and in Peter, of fearing God. It is not something that's been erased. But this fear is not a slavish type of fear either. It is a type of fear that shows awesome respect for. That God is so powerful and so wonderful and good that it affects every part of my being. It affects me. It changes me. It makes me a different person because of what Christ has done for me. Because of what God deigned before the foundation of the world. It changes me. Makes me a different person. I'm not the shallow, sinful person that I was before. Now, I know that God loved me and His grace was given to me. And He has changed me and I'm not the same person that I was before. It has affected me. The Lord pitieth them who fear Him. All right? Pare in the Hebrew. That fear Him. They respect. They have awesome reverence for God the Father. As we conclude this message, I want you to consider 2 things here in regard to this. Pity or compassion may seem an unusual attribute for the psalmist to emphasize, but it brings to mind the yearning heart of a father towards the frailty and weakness of the child that he loves. Remember, mamas, holding that baby in your hand and realizing that 24/7 they're totally dependent on you? Oh, boy, do I remember, right? Dads, hearing mama get up in the middle of the night or punching you in the side, said, it's your turn. Yeah, we had different nights. My wife and I, we agreed. I would do one night, she would do that. We had alternating nights. And you get up in the middle of the night to change a stinky diaper. Right up there with the greatest things of life, right? Frailty of our children. Haven't learned yet. And then you go through the whole potty training era, you know? You work them through that and you finally learn how to do it. And victory! Victory! Yeah. And that's just one little phase. We got all these other things to do too. We got to teach them how to ride a bike, and we got to teach them how to drive. before they drive us crazy, right? Think about all that's involved in parenting. And the one thing that you're reminded of is the frailty of your child. The sleeping child needs to be sheltered by his father. The weary child needs to be carried. The hungry child needs to be fed. The wandering child needs to be sought after, brought home, and shown great understanding. The disobedient child needs to be chastened, and the child who is wounded and afraid needs the loving compassion that can only come from the heart of a father who truly cares about his child. This is important stuff. The loving compassion of every earthly father is completely eclipsed by the tender-hearted pity and grace that God shows to each of his own. Did you get that? Our little stuff that we do at home is completely eclipsed by how gracious and great God is to us. He knows our various weaknesses. He knows our human frame, our inner frailties, and is mindful that we are but dust. Yet, in His mercy and grace, He has rescued us from the miry pit and has set our feet upon a rock and established our goings. Psalm 40. He has bestowed upon us the riches of His grace that we should be forever glorifying His holy name. He saves us by His grace. And when we get to heaven, you know what we're going to do for all the endless ages of eternity? We're going to sing the praises of Jesus Christ. He gives, and we give back. He gives with both hands. I've used this illustration many, many times. He doesn't have a hand behind his back holding something back. He gives with both hands, didymi in the Greek. How are we responding this morning to the Father's actions toward us? He's full-orbed. He's not just one, and then sometimes He is everything that He needs to be for His children. Amen? He's everything that He needs to be. If we need chastening, He's everything we need from Him. If it's to be lifted up, He's everything He needs to be for us. He's the Father of fathers. I pray this morning that we all will get a better understanding and know and have to our hearts the deep, heartfelt love that God has for us, and that we demonstrate that. This verse of Scripture provides a powerful foundation for hope, reminding us that God is a loving and compassionate Father who deeply cares, not just in words, not just in thoughts, but what, folks? In action. He sees the need, He knows He can meet that need, and He goes into action to supply that need. That's the word pity. Would you bow your heads? Father in heaven, I thank You so much for this tender verse of Scripture that's given to us. Sometimes we paint ugly pictures of the Father. As one pagan religious man said, that the God of the Old Testament was a dirty bully. What a horrible thing to say. Someone that did not know and understand the Scriptures. Someone who was a false profession, but not a reality. Your Word makes it very clear that You're everything you need to be for Your children. And You extend pity to those who fear You. Not a slavish type fear, that if we don't do this, You're going to knock us down or destroy us, but rather a respectful, reverent fear that changes our thoughts and changes the way we do things because of Your great love and Your great compassion and Your great power and might and holiness and righteousness. All those things that make up who You are impact us morally, spiritually, physically, mentally, socially. Every part of our being is affected. And we thank You, Father, that we can today call You Father because of the merits of Jesus Christ in our behalf. Father, on this Father's Day, we exalt You. We lift up Your holy and matchless name, and we lift You up as a great example of how we're to interact with Your people, with the people of this earth. We have to have compassion. There are times in which we have to deal with situations that arise, and we have to deal with them appropriately. But Lord, help us not to have a one-sided, lopsided view of who you are. Help us to have the full-orbed understanding that the Scriptures paint. And Psalm 103 does a tremendous job in doing that, and we thank you for it. And Father, we pray now as we recognize our dads, that you might receive all the praise and the glory and the honor, for you alone are worthy of praise. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like for our dads to come forward, please, for just a moment. We're going to have prayer for them and recognize them and say thank you to them by everyone lining up and coming through and shaking their hands. If all the dads will come forward, please. The longer you take, the longer you're going to have to wait to get that barbecue. Y'all will step down here on the floor and face toward the folks. I just want you to know how much I appreciate these men. I'm so thankful for the spirit that God has given to us among the men of our church. And they are deserving of your prayers every day. To be a dad in this world and the culture that we live in today, according to the Bible, means to receive mockery and hatred from the world. They don't want a dad who brings loving discipline in a home. They don't want a dad that says no. They want a dad that says yes all the time. And we know from the Word of God that we have to learn to say no. God says no, amen? He oftentimes says no. I praise the Lord for men who are willing to search the Scriptures daily, be faithful in their prayer life, and be leaders in this church. And so let's go to the Lord and ask His blessing upon our men. Our precious Father, I thank you for these fellows that are here today. I thank you for their homes. I thank you, Father, for the leadership that they have in their homes. God-appointed leadership positions. Lord, I pray that they might take up the Scriptures and learn more of how a father should act, how a father should live in the home, how a father should exercise discipline, how a father should exercise pity and compassion. Lord, all of these things make up the role of you, our Father, and you've shared them with us in your precious Word. Help us, dear Father, to understand and know the teachings of the Word and how we deal with our children and with our grandchildren. Father, we thank you for raising up these men, for saving them by your wonderful grace. And we pray, Father, that they would be the right kind of leaders, continue to be the right kind of leaders going forward. And we give you praise and glory for everything, our great Father. And we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.